Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, and the special between now and Tuesday is Yuengling. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. They're right there at the register as you check out. The pickle bar, yes, is second to none. Love the barrels, love the dills, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Proud to be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sealands Grove tonight will be on Eagle 107. Lewisburg will be on 100.9 The Valley. Milton on WMLP. And, of course, Shikellamy hosting Mifflinburg tonight. That will be on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Davis trying to work 2 1/3 innings to get a save. He got the final out in the 7th inning. And now there's 2 outs in the 9th. The 3-2 to Harper. Swing and a miss, strike 3, and the Cubs win it. The Cubs are in the league championship series for the 3rd consecutive year. He struck out Bryce Harper on a low inside breaking ball.
That's the call last night, dramatically in a wild, wacky game last night at Nationals Park. The Cubs won it by a score 9-8 over the Nationals. They get Los Angeles next at Chavez Ravine. The charter of the Cubs, by the way, had to land in Albuquerque today because a non-player, evidently a family member, got sick on the plane. So, and then they had to wait even longer because what happened was the flight was only X amount of hours they're allowed to be, quote, on. Well, they overstayed the number of hours, and because they did, they had to bring a new flight crew in. So they were derailed today, had to stop at Albuquerque, and now they're flying to Los Angeles. They'll play game one tomorrow, Houston and the Yankees tonight. So do we have a spoiler alert?
We do have a spoiler alert. I was able to find audio, but the music, I couldn't find the music underneath it, so he must have it somewhere else in the system. But I was able to find, should be it right here. All right, so we'll hear this at the top of the broadcast tonight at 6:30 to set the table for Shikellamy and Mifflinburg. Here we go.
The Pennsylvania Heartland Athletic Conference had its debut in the fall of 2008. It consisted of 25 schools with roots going back to the Central Susquehanna Conference, the Schuylkill League, the Tri-Valley League, the Susquehanna Valley League, the Mid-Penn, and even the West Branch League. 10 seasons later, 18 teams play football in 3 divisions of the conference with 27 schools in the conference overall. In that 10-year span, the Shikellamy Braves have never won the coveted PHAC Division I title outright. Tonight, at Shikellamy Stadium, in front of what's expected to be a packed homecoming crowd of fans and alumni, this team can do something even that first-ever District 4 Class AAA Championship Shikellamy team of 2010 was not able to do. That's win the Pennsylvania Heartland Athletic Conference Division I title outright. And they can do it tonight by going undefeated in conference play. Mifflinburg at Shikellamy is next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Not bad.
It's really
like
good,
it.
Huh?
I think it's
really
awesome.
Wait, really Kevo? Good.
Yeah.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
Burn your...
Suit.
They're all chanting Sue. Well, that was excellent.
It was phenomenal. We crushed it. That was great.
It was really good.
What I had on, when I had loaded over in the production room was just Kevin talking. It wasn't the music underneath. So I lucked out. I found it. Guess what was in the system was the actual we were going to play at 6:30. I thought it was just going to be him talking, just with no music underneath.
Very good. No, it's really well done. Well timed. Well timed.
You know, nice historical facts at the beginning of the segment. I loved it.
Yeah, no, it took me on an emotional journey. So
one you didn't expect.
Nope. I expected lots of story. I didn't expect that. So, I mean, that I did expect.
That's when you left the room, went upstairs, and came back down, and it was still... you got back in time for the drum roll.
Right, exactly. It was great. Now, after that, there's like an open, right?
Yeah, then we hear our official voice guy, you know, introducing the broadcast. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And then he has to introduce himself. And I think I've got that. Pretty dramatic, don't you think?
Yes.
Here he comes. Who's broadcasting tonight?
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius.
Yes.
Commander of the armies of the North. General of the Felix Legions. Loyal servant to the true Emperor, Marcus Aurelius. Father to a murdered son. Husband to a murdered wife. I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
I'm telling you, he sounds ready.
And it's not even the playoffs.
He's been preparing all week, right? I mean, the crowd's already into it. I mean, like he said, a capacity crowd. They've gathered. Sounds like Mifflinburg's entered. What do you think? That's our sales staff in the background. I love the support. Don't you? It's a big game tonight. So you know what? In the end, I think we all ought to look at the suit. In the end, what we should do, Sean, is quite simple. In a dramatic moment, you and I should give them the thumbs up. He's out. It's Friday of a bye week, for goodness sakes, we're having fun. I'm just surprised he hasn't barged in yet.
I know, I was waiting.
But the open was outstanding. It sets a wonderful tone for tonight.
Terrific work, yes.
And not only that, it's really neat. I've received several texts from members of the Mifflinburg football team listening on the bus. So they've... They don't seem to share our opinions.
Now, if Mifflinburg were to upset Shikellamy tonight, then there would be a tie between Sewens Grove and Shikellamy. They would share the Hack One championship. I'm just laying that out there. If the other scenario were to drop,
okay. All right. Boston College is going to play Syracuse tonight. Dabo Swinney's not crazy about it, which I understand. But again, you're looking. This goes back to what we talked about yesterday with Urban Meyer, and now let's really widen this for a moment to talk about college basketball in conjunction with college football. You saw North Carolina today is not going to get anything serious against it. Oh, okay, that's fine. I sort of expected that. And I think what the NCAA needs to do is this. keep in mind of what the model was. And it's, for the most part, there have been adaptations to the model over the years of what college football and college basketball happens to be. And it's, quote, an amateur model. You'd agree with that, right? So, but this amateur model, at least the foundation of it, was put together in the mid-20th century. There wasn't TV influences. I mean, if you got a game on, it was a big deal. Okay. Everything started to change in 1982. 82 was the advent of the CBS taking over the broadcast rights from NBC for the NCAA basketball tournament, which has then progressed over the years to the to being worth tens of millions of dollars a year, if not more. 1984, Oklahoma and Georgia winning their lawsuit against the NCAA, which then opened the door for hundreds of millions of dollars toward conferences and schools for broadcast football rights. And when the model of what amateurism is and defined through the NCAA rules, charter, whatever it happens to be, that was the 20th century model that fit the 20th century. They've got to take a long, hard look now, in my opinion, Sean, at what a 21st century model looks like. Now, have they made some adaptations? Absolutely. And really good ones. Cost of attendance is one. Really good. Nutrition bars. Really good. So they've made some adaptations to bring it toward the 21st century. And remember, whatever adaptations that you make also have to fit the possibility of making sure that Title IX is adhered to. It's not easy. But when you look at the Adidas, AAU, agent, assistant coach scenario, which is now playing out, and it turns out with basketball media days coming up across the board, every coach is being asked about it. It doesn't matter whether you're John Calipari at Kentucky or if you're Fran McCaffrey at Iowa. It doesn't matter. You're going to be asked about it. And of course, Richard Pitino at Minnesota is going to be asked about it, too, because obviously his father is in the process of losing his job at Louisville. Every coach is going to be asked. Sean Miller at Arizona has already been asked. But it doesn't matter which coach it is. There, you know, Steve Peichel at Rutgers is going to be asked. And they've got to take a long, hard look. You know, you could put together all the commissions you want with Gene Smith of Ohio State and Condoleezza Rice and so forth. You can put all the commissions together that you want. But you got to look at this now in 21st century terms. You've had to make adaptations in how you treat social media and recruiting and so forth. Now, one thing the NCAA cannot control is the NBA. They can't control the NBA. And I think step one that the NBA can make that will at least be a step in the right direction would be, look, let's stop the one-and-done deal of you have to be in 1 year and 19 years of age. Just if you want to go from high school straight in, fine. And like, if you fail, you fail. I mean, that's, and college is not there to bail you out if you don't get drafted. I mean, that's why they created the G League. I mean, if that's what you want to do, do it. The college is not there as a bailout. It's considered to be a step. So you have to make your decision as to what you want to do. Now, if you want to put in rules, for example, where in college, you know, a team retains your draft rights for 3 years, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. There's various ways to work this out. Or if you decide, hey, look, I want to go the college and not the pros. You must stay X amount of time. I mean, there's things that you can work out. It's one thing that the high school players going into college don't have. They don't have a union. The pros do. But that's one step outside of this from an outside entity. But it's not going to solve all of it because darn well if the first 25 opt to go to the NBA draft, the numbers 26 through 50 are going to get targeted in what we're seeing right now in certain entities. I mean, they'll be the next group targeted. But no one ever dreamed 10 years ago, let alone 20, 30, and 40, and 50 years ago. I mean, no one dreamed 10 years ago, let alone 50 years ago. And 50 years ago was right in the middle of the 20th century model of amateurism. Remember, 50 years ago, no one in the Olympics was getting any money. I mean, 50 years ago would be 1967, so go to 1968. Everyone's already seen John Carlos and Tommy Smith and the Black Power Salute. They also didn't get any money. Bob Beamon set a record of 29, 2, and 3 quarters in the long jump. Like, he obliterated the long jump record in Mexico City. He didn't get a dime. I'm trying to think which American won the decathlon that year. I want to say Bob Beamon was the, Bob Beamon was long jump. Bob Seagram was the pole vaulter, but whatever. But those guys didn't get any money. At least they weren't supposed to be. How about that? Well, that's all changed now. Everybody in the Olympics is getting money. Everybody does. They all get money now. Now, am I saying football and basketball players should be getting money? No, I've staunchly defended the fact that you're already getting a ton of money by getting your tuition paid and your books paid for and your room paid for and your meals. You're already getting a lot. You stay 5 years, you're getting it to the tune of about $250,000. Not pocket change. That doesn't include cost of attendance. You're at Penn State for 5 years on an athletic, full athletic scholarship. Your cost of attendance is going to be about $20,000 to $25,000 when you're all said and done. So you're getting something. But they have to take a long, hard look at what the, quote, amateur model is for college sports, thinking about the 21st century and everything that is there. Because the money has changed everything. And we do know that the money that you get is going also to make sure that other student-athletes in other sports that don't make money, where the balance sheet does not balance out between expenses and revenue. Well, the money we're talking about in football and men's basketball is going to make sure that 700 others, at least at this university, have scholarship money available to them. So, I mean, but again, can you put together, is it possible to put together a 21st century model that fits today's college experience? That's a real challenge. That's a really big challenge. All right, we'll take a break. We are your home for Shikellamy football, as maybe you heard at the beginning of this segment.
Get this. It turns out we ran a first draft of the Open when I played that 20 minutes ago.
Just run that. What would change it? What are we changing?
He changed it. He decided to. He had second thoughts. He changed the music from your suggestion of In the Air Tonight, and which was excellent. And then he changed it to the song that I suggested, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, The Waiting.
Well, I'm sure that's great.
It will be great. He actually just played it for me in studio just a little while ago. I think both sound excellent.
Well, it'll be a winner either way.
It will be. But I thought he doubled his work. I don't think he really had to switch to the Tom Petty song, but he thought the breakpoints in the song worked a little better to go with his text.
What makes him really good is he's a perfectionist, and he is really good. What makes him a great foil on this show is he's a perfectionist.
It's just like all those backhanded compliments that he got at the Bucknell Luncheon on Wednesday.
He walked out feeling pretty good till it was explained to him.
Pretty much, he says. Yeah.
Does he understand where all of us are coming from now?
He tunes that part out.
Again, he's a perfectionist. That makes him really, really good. Also, being a perfectionist opens the door for us to have some fun. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, your home for Shikellamy Braves football.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
Having trouble trying to figure out what new vehicle to buy?
Stop!
SMC has all your bases covered.
Compare Ford, Lincoln, Kia, and Hyundai,
all at the dealer who has been satisfying more customers
for over 100 years.
53 Ford F-150s starting at $23,994.
Sunbury Motors has your compact SUVs covered.
46 Ford Escapes starting at $19,925.
Take 3112 off all 17 Hyundai Tucsons.
Kia Sportages start at just $23,553.
SMC has your mid-size SUV in stock. Right now, 2018 Kia Sorentos start at $24,999.
With 21 Sorentos to choose from.
Take up to $49,49 off 2017 Hyundai Santa Fe Sports.
And up to $5,000 off a Lincoln MKX.
Sunbury Motors has all your bases covered for your next new vehicle.
Go to sunburymotors.com to compare your next new Ford, Lincoln, Kia, or Hyundai.
Sunbury Motors, satisfying more customers, selling more cars.
A tradition of trust since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. And yes, do not forget that Yuengling between now and Tuesday is the special. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their penis fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed is all together now, second to none. All the Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Stock up for your bye weekend now, which will allow you then stock up for next weekend, which appears to be pretty big. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So I guess he changed the music up?
He did. At last second decision for the Shikellamy Mifflinburg Open tonight at 6:30 on WKOK. First choice was your song, Phil Collins, In the Air Tonight. Yes.
Right. And I found the alternate.
Oh, cool.
This is the one he went with.
Do you see what I see?
See what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see?
See what I see?
A star dancing in the night.
It was
with
on this
tail
day.
As big as a kite.
Absolutely. That fact, the part owner of the Pittsburgh Pirates on this date in 1960 celebrated Bill Mazeroski's trip around the bases to beat the Yankees. Bing Crosby was the part owner of the Pirates in 1960.
Love it. And by the way, we'll start playing Christmas music on 100.9 The Valley beginning Monday, November 20th.
Perfect.
Shameless plug.
This was a shameless plug for the Open, which is now 2 hours away. This Open, which, by the way, has now been played over and over again for the people on the Mifflinburg bus. You're not very popular there. All right, so. The Open is excellent. You put a lot of hard work into it. Let's bring my brother in.
There he is.
Welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hello, brother.
Hello, brother.
Hello.
All right. I'm doing just fine. We've been having a lot of fun on today's show.
I heard about it, yeah.
Mostly at the suit's expense. All right, so. But he, to his credit, he puts himself in these positions.
He's got a great name.
Suit. Sean, did you happen to ask him how sales went this week?
How did sales go this week?
As good as the Open.
As good as the Open. Oh, there you go. Great answer. Family Feud. Great answer. Great answer.
He's changed it three times now. All right, so... he acts as if none of us pay attention. He's shaking his head, isn't he?
Yes, he's starting to walk out of the room.
Okay. Well, so where do we all stand with this thing here?
Okay, last week, Kevin and I went 3-3. Steve, because of your Dallas prediction over Green Bay fell through, you dropped 2-4 on the week. So after 5 weeks, the pride and joy of Connecticut out in front. Kevo, 22-13. I am 20-15. And Stefano, host of the show, 18-17.
Time out.
I'm circling a fogged-in airport.
Well, time out. I went 4-2.
Well, I have you 3-3.
I had TCU.
Yes.
I have you. Washington State.
Yes, that's two.
I had Green Bay.
Yes.
And I had Kansas City.
Right. That's four. Okay. That's okay. You are four. wait. Yep, that's four. My bad. All right, so you're 23 and 12.
I've got to fight for every point here.
I went 4-2, too. I have no idea who I picked, but I went 4-2 as well.
Okay, you're 23 and 12.
So, in other words, the audience is sitting there, and they're saying, and he announces sports for a living? He's getting killed in this game.
You're very busy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I've been...
Miscalculated. Yep, you went 4-2. I definitely went 3-3, and Steve went 2-4. So.
I've got a bad dartboard.
All right.
I have a notebook.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I saw it.
That's okay. I've got a lot of computer programs, but they all deal with one game. So.
Oh, you have to imagine, Sean. I sit there at his house. He has nothing in front of him. Everything is like...
And it shows. And it shows.
Oh, no,
I'm in last place.
Trivia, his trivia questions he just does from his head. You know, I got everything written down. I've got, you know, and I even read them wrong. You know, he's got it all in his head.
Oh, and you can see right now, based on these pics, there's a screw loose up there.
So what you're saying, Kevin, is you're a perfectionist, just like our Kevin down here?
No, I'm not perfect.
Exactly.
At all.
No, nobody's like that.
I gotta study it and read it and not study it. I mean, you know,
look it over, prepare.
Look it over and stuff like that. He just kind of wings it, you know, and he knows it. You know, and even the trivia questions that I had that were, my answer was wrong.
Well, that's okay.
Was wrong.
Okay. Yeah. I'm 18-17. Everybody can tell I'm winging it.
Holy cow! I'm trying to beat you.
I know
up
you are,
here, brother.
I know
you're.
I know you're. I know you are, but I'm putting a dose of realism into it as well. I mean, now, admittedly. Kevin Herr did his big open for the game tonight, which, by the way, sounds outstanding. And Penn State football is doing it open for the whiteout on Saturday night on the scoreboard. I'm actually in it, so I'll freely admit I ad-libbed and winged that, too. It was no script.
It's really not did. You.
It's actually me, and I did the thing in one take. So, I mean, I just kind of made it up.
It's him, but it's really not him.
It's really not. It's actually Jack disguised as me, so it looks like a shorter Jack Ham.
Oh, you're Jack Ham. Oh.
Exactly right. Now that brings new credibility.
There you go.
Sleeves in the Hall of Fame jacket look bigger.
Exactly right. And you know, it was really cool that when the Indiana game, he brought and wore the gold jacket, his Hall of Fame jacket.
It.
That was really cool.
I was in the booth and I saw the gold jacket, John.
It looked awesome in the end zone.
Oh, boy.
It looked awesome when we took it off of Kevin when he was in the hallway leaving. I'll be right back. I think those are your exact words.
All right. Well, we got another six-pack of games we're going to jump into. Three college, three pro. This will be the CBS game tomorrow at 3:30, Saturday. Let's go with Auburn at LSU to kick things off.
All right, I'll go first.
Okay.
I'll go first on all of these. That way, Kevin doesn't think I'm stealing from him.
No, I don't think he's been stealing from me.
Numbers never lie.
If you were, you'd be in first place.
I'm so far behind, I think I'm first. All right. I don't see anybody around me. I must be in first place. I'm going with LSU at home.
Oh.
I've got Auburn.
I got Auburn, too. I apologize. Auburn is going to dominate this football game. Auburn's averaging 35 points a game, and they're only averaging giving up 13.
There's no need
Auburn
to apologize.
Is going under the radar, guys. Watch out for them. They can knock Alabama off. I'm telling
no need you. To. No need to apologize. The audience is with you.
All right, we get to go to the state fair tomorrow for some deep fried Oreos. Red River rivalry, Oklahoma and Texas.
Wow.
Booner Sooner. Oklahoma.
I think they're going to bounce back, too. I think they're going to, they're just going to play ticked off tomorrow. I've got the Sooners.
Yeah, I got the Sooners big time and Baker Mayfield big time. If you would take in Texas, Steve, I'd have hung up.
Desperate times call from desperate measures.
I'm trying to fight from behind.
I know, but I'll leave it alone. Next.
All right, prime time in the Big Ten tomorrow night. You got Michigan State at Minnesota.
Much closer game than people will think. Although Minnesota's coming. I watched some of the Minnesota game on the plane flying back. And they didn't play well against Purdue. Now, part of that was the game had to be stopped because of that terrible thunderstorm, which we got lucky. We were on the bus. Our game was over. And on the bus, we got rocked back and forth by the thing before we went to the airport. But I'm going to go with Michigan State, and not so much because of the momentum they got last week. I just think they're a little bit better, but not much. This game's less than a touchdown.
Yep, I got Michigan State, too.
Yeah, I'm right on board with you guys. Michigan State play Michigan tough. On paper, they're an evenly matched, but I believe Michigan State has the edge. I got Michigan State also.
All right, pros for Sunday, Green Bay at the Vikings.
Well, let's see. After shafting Green Bay last week, when I wanted them so badly to win, because desperate times called for desperate measures, and all I did was increase my desperation, I'm going to take the Packers in that beautiful new stadium they have in Minnesota.
Bradford's going to be out again on Sunday, and I think that one of their other starting wideouts is going to be out again for Sunday as well for Minnesota. So I'm going to take Green Bay, too.
Well, I don't see any way Green Bay loses a game. Minnesota's got too many injuries, and Green Bay's on a roll. Green Bay is going to have to lose before I'll pick them to lose. They're good.
So at last check, we've got, I think it was eight or nine teams now in the NFL with records of 3-2. Both of these teams are 3-2, the Rams at Jacksonville.
All right, Goff is better than Bortles, and I didn't think I'd say that a year ago. But Goff is definitely better than Bortles. Jacksonville had a great win last week. It's going to come down to whether Jacksonville can stop Gurley running the ball. Because remember, statistics are very interesting. Jacksonville is the number one pass defense in the NFL. Well, there's a big reason why they have the number one pass defense in the NFL, because everybody can run on them despite the 55 pass attempts by the Steelers last week. Who put together that game plan? I'm still going to go at home. I'm going to go with Jacksonville. I'm going to take a flyer on the Jags this time.
I'm going to go with the Rams.
You're just mad at Jacksonville.
Oh, I am. I'm spitting tacks. I am. I mean,
went to the game. You saw it firsthand.
I felt so bad. And I didn't want to text them. So
you could have. No, but no. I mean, they punched the Steelers in the teeth. I mean, they did. I mean,
I texted him, and I can't read back what he wrote.
No. I was afraid of what he was going to write.
I took one look at Deb with under 6 minutes to go, and Ben threw his fourth pick. I said, "We are gone."
Live, real loyal fan you are.
And what happened after that? You know, when I'm waiting to get back on the Clipper fleet to go back over to Station Square, Ben throws his fifth pick, and that's when Fournette ran for the 90-yard score, the two-minute warning.
You missed history. See, you're out there floating on the water.
I caught that on my phone. That was good enough for me.
I texted him during the Penn State game, and he's like, "Please don't tell me anything because I'm going to watch it tonight." I texted him back, "Penn State's losing 58-0.
We were traveling out to Grove City, and I had the DVR going, so yeah, I watched the game on my iPad in the hotel on Saturday night.
I did the same thing.
He swore at me. Oh, okay.
But you're not the only one that texted me in game, Kevin, so everyone thought I was just watching the game. So, all right, Kevin, what was your pick?
But you can also explain who didn't. Well, Kevin will send me a lot of texts during the game, and then I'll answer them after the game. I never have my phone out. It's always in my bag during the game, so that's why.
I know, you don't answer me ever. I find that hurtful. Incredibly hurtful.
This is going to be a therapy day.
But I got through it.
So. Yeah. Your pick is?
My pick?
Yeah, for Rams.
Yeah, for the Rams and Jags.
Oh, you got
I got Jacksonville big time. And I agree, Goff has played well. But Jacksonville's a funny team. I mean, one week they don't show up at all. But when they do show up, they're a tough team to beat.
Yeah, I mean, against the Jets. I mean, they should be on a roll right now. They should have beaten the Jets in the middle of this because they crushed Baltimore and they crushed Pittsburgh.
They should be 4-1. Absolutely, they should.
Yeah, they're a funny team. But it shows that they're a young team.
You know, it's interesting because Paul Posluszny, we had him on the show before the Jets game.
Yep.
And you could just sense that, you know, they're feeling better about themselves, but there's still a franchise fragility there.
Right.
Did you get that sense too, Sean? That it was you could tell.
Yeah.
With him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he felt bad as he was leaving the game early.
Yeah.
All right. Steelers at the Chiefs. 2:25 airtime Sunday, 100.9 the Valley. They'll kick at 4:25 at Arrowhead.
And to quote the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Kansas City.
Well, you know what happened with me last year with the Steelers-Chiefs game.
That's right.
I picked Kansas City.
Went with the Chiefs.
Fool me once. You know how that goes. Fool me once, fool me twice. Hey, it's just like with you with the Dallas Giants game. You went with the Giants to the bitter end. I got to stick with my black and gold at the
bitter
end.
But it was Dallas. It's like you picking the Ravens to beat the Steelers.
You've got nothing to worry about there. That'll never happen.
Okay, that's my point. Cowboys, I know the Giants are awful, but the next time the game comes up on the grid, I'm picking New York. I'm not going to pick them over I'm not going to pick the Cowboys over them. Every fiber of my body would just go haywire.
Please put the next Cowboy Giant game on the list.
I'll take the loss. I'll take the loss. Look, I'm so far behind right now.
Well, I don't know. Dallas isn't looking too good.
Right.
Zeke Elliott's gone again. So
yeah, I'll tell you right now, the Eagles looked good last night. That's a good team. Any team that can, like Philadelphia, that can, now Philadelphia does not have great corners. They do not have great corners. But you can compensate for a lack of great corner play if you have a four-man rush where you don't need to blitz.
That defense was dominant last night.
Because you don't have to blitz, you can now run a variety of zones to cover up for your corners.
They hit Cam Newton so many times he was spinning. He took a beating last night.
And I'll tell you, the Eagles look great. I think the Eagles right now, to me, would be the third best team in the NFC behind Green Bay and Atlanta.
I don't think this is far-fetched, but I think you have to put Carson Wentz now in the MVP conversation. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. He should be in it.
You always admire a player who had a good year and got better the next year, especially when it was a rookie year. And then he stepped back and he learned some more, and he gets better, and he gets better and better and better. He's going to be a great quarterback.
He sure is. Now, the MVP so far is Alex Smith of Kansas City. I think you've got to say he's the guy in the clubhouse right now.
Yeah, wouldn't you love to see that? I mean, he's always been under Aaron Rodgers' shadow, you know?
Yep.
And then he gets kicked out of San Francisco for Kaepernick, you know?
Yep.
And let him be the one to say, there, it's mine. I'd love to see him get a Super Bowl, too.
Yeah. And you will pick in this game?
Kansas City. I'm sorry, Sean.
It's all right. It's all fair in love and pick and war here.
Look.
Hey, Steve, how about those Red Sox, huh?
You know what? Sports Illustrated put out an article today.
Yeah.
And it says, why your team won't win the World Series. Now, the article is every round of the playoffs they put that out.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw that headline, I said, my team won't win because they're eliminated. They're already out.
They won't win because of Edwin Encarnacion. They should have fired the general manager.
Right. Sean, what did I say 14 months ago on the show when Ortiz was still a member of the Red Sox?
Got to get someone to replace Poppy, and he was the guy.
And who did I say?
Edwin Encarnacion.
Edwin, 38 home runs, 107 RBIs, Encarnacion.
Yep. If you added him to the mix. Now, they say that Moreland at first base took his place. That's a lot of baloney. You needed a guy.
Because you would have played Ramirez at first base. You would have played Ramirez at first base.
Yeah. Moreland had like 25 home runs, whatever. They're just trying to cover their tracks.
Of course they are. I absolutely agree with that. You fired the manager. That's great. Okay, you're the guy that didn't sign the guy that they needed, and it didn't take a genius to see who it was.
Yep. Agreed. But the go Yankees. Hey, I told you last week I had a feeling the Yankees are going to move right along here. I don't know why. I don't have anything to base it on.
I don't know what's worse, picking the Yankees or going with the Cowboys.
But you know what? You know, let's start with the basics, because obviously I do a lot of New York Penn League baseball. So I see the Staten Island Yankees, and I see the Tri-City Valley Cats. That's the Yankee and Astros minor league teams. Mm-hmm. A lot of the guys that I've watched over the last 6-7 years are now with the parent clubs. You could see the talent then. Now, Kevin, I never project a guy to the majors, ever.
Right.
It's too hard a road. So
yep.
I always project him. Is that a guy I think can get the double A? Well, I looked at Tri-City back-to-back years, like, holy mackerel. They've got a lot of guys who are going to get the double A. And I said the same thing about Staten Island. You could see it. Like Gary Sanchez, he played against State College. You could see, boom, he's going to fly right up the ladder in there to get the double A. And then that becomes a make or break level, you know.
Yeah.
So whether you can handle it. So.
The closer still scares me, but.
Well, you know what?
They had to talk them through that last inning the other night. So.
Well, you know what? I think that this is a series where it's going to be a series of 7-inning games. Whomever is leading at the end of 7 will win.
Yeah. Houston's very good.
Yeah. No, they can hit. I'll tell you, what really struck me in the Red Sox series was how quick the Houston bats were. I mean, great bat speed.
Yeah. Did you see that picture in the Daily News or the New York Daily News of Judge standing next to the little guy there?
Jose Altuve. And guess what?
He had more home runs, didn't he?
Judge had 52.
Oh, okay.
But Altuve won his third straight batting title. Pound for pound, that might be the best baseball player out there.
I think so. He's fun to watch. He's got power. He's got pop. He's a great fielder. He's got the whole package. And he's 5'6". Remember Freddie Patek?
Yep, Freddie Patek, Kansas City Royals.
The closest thing to him. So.
Talk to you next week, everybody. Have a great weekend.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.